Thank you so very much for that great number this morning. I appreciate all that has been invested leading up to the service. Thankful for the music, the congregational numbers, and then also the special presentation from Colonel Tony Hamilton. I appreciate your service, Colonel Hamilton, and your family, and appreciate you coming in and rehearsing those themes with us for this Memorial Day weekend. If you would, take your Bibles and go with me this morning to Genesis chapter number 1. Genesis chapter number 1, we are in a series between Mother's Day and Father's Day, directly related to the home. And we're dealing with family matters and what really matters to each and every family. If I could just encourage each family this morning and say that your family does matter. There is a great matter at hand, though, for each family. And we want to consider another aspect of the family this morning. In our first message, we looked at the matter of biblical salvation. I pray that each and every one of the members of your family knows the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. Then, last Sunday morning, Brother Bradford dealt with the issue of biblical surrender and biblical submission. And I do pray that we are all walking in submission first to Christ and then submissive and surrendered to our roles in the home. And I appreciate the investment that Brother Bradford made on our behalf in this area of biblical surrender and submission. This morning, I want to deal with a third aspect of what matters to the family. And I'm going to use a word that we don't often use in our English language, but it flows with the theme of the message, and it's the theme of the series. And I want to deal with the issue of biblical symbiosis. Biblical symbiosis. And I know on the surface that people will say, "What in the world, Pastor, does that mean?" Well, in just a few moments, we'll walk through the definition of symbiosis, but I want to show several passages of Scripture this morning that detail for us how God designed marriage and the relationship between a husband and a wife. Would you go back with me to Genesis chapter 1 in verse 26? We want to read several passages this morning related to the symbiosis that is to be there between husband and wife. In Genesis chapter 1 in verse number 26, the Bible says, "And God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Would you go with me now into chapter 2, Genesis chapter 2, and look with me in verse number 18. In Genesis chapter 1, the Bible says very clearly, God created man and woman. He created them after his own image. We go to Genesis chapter 2, and we read in verse number 18. "And the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him an helpmeet for him. And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all cattle, and to the fowl of the air, and every beast of the field, but for Adam there was not found an helpmeet for him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam. And he slept, and he took one of his ribs, and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones, and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and shall be one flesh." If you would take your Bibles and go from Genesis chapter 2 all the way over to Matthew chapter number 19. Matthew chapter 19. We find here in the New Testament a reinforcement of what God had said in the beginning. We know that Jesus Christ came to this earth as the God-man. He was 100% God and 100% man 100% of the time. But many times, on many different occasions, the Lord Jesus Christ reinforces what God said to us in the Old Testament. And the New Testament, in so many different ways, confirms the veracity and the validity of what is stated in the Old Testament. In Matthew chapter 19, there's a debate amongst the Pharisees, and they seek to trip up the Lord Jesus Christ on this matter of marriage. And in Matthew chapter 19, if you would read with me in verse number 3 what the Bible says. And he answered and said unto them, Have ye not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female, and said, For this cause shall a man leave father and mother, and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. Wherefore they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. We go further into the epistle of Ephesians. And the apostle Paul in the book of Ephesians, as he's writing to the church at Ephesus, makes a similar statement to what is given to us in Genesis chapter 2 and in Matthew chapter 19. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 31, the Bible says, For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. When we use the term biblical symbiosis, we must define each and every one of these terms. First of all, the word biblical. Well, it almost goes without saying, but tragically, there are many people that claim to be Christians in this world, and yet they don't follow the Bible that came from Christ. And so it's important for us to understand that biblical symbiosis is based upon a joining that is founded on the Word of God. Without the Bible, we cannot know the God that created man. Without the Bible, we cannot know the God that created marriage. This is the God that gave us the blueprint for our marriage and for how God designed it to function within society. So first of all, it is biblical. Then we come to the word symbiosis. Symbiosis is a relationship between two people in which each person is dependent upon and receives reinforcement, whether beneficial or detrimental, from the other. It is an interdependent or mutually beneficial relationship between two persons. Biblical symbiosis. God designed marriage to be one man and one woman for one lifetime. God says that when he unites them, he creates from those two different fleshly individuals one flesh. He unites them with a spiritual glue, and God desires for them to continue all the way until death do they part. Again, I want to emphasize this as we consider biblical symbiosis, this biblical relationship that should be mutually beneficial and interdependent. God created man. God created woman. God created marriage, and God gave us the manual by which our marriages can function properly and successfully. Now, let me ask you this question. Do you believe that God's way is best? Do you believe that God's way is best? We have many people today, and in fact, we might have some that are watching the live stream this morning that have chosen to go their own way in marriage. We have a large segment of society that has chosen to go their own way. They've come up with their own plan, and they are following that plan to the best of their ability, albeit contrary to God's blueprint for a successful marriage. Now, you can certainly choose to go your own way. You can certainly choose to format the way that you will go through the process of dating and courtship and then marrying someone one day. Mankind has now designed it as though people of the same sex can get married, and they have designed it that a man can go out and have multiple partners. And they've come up with all other avenues that are contrary to the Word of God. But God designed man, God designed marriage, and God designed the manual by which this marriage would function best. I wonder this morning if a biblical symbiosis matters to your family. Would you say that the spousal relationship in your home is the priority? Is it truly a biblical symbiosis? Now, I know we can say the words. I know that we can believe the words. But I wonder if we were practicing this philosophy from this biblical manual, I wonder if we are practicing one man for one woman for one lifetime. What does it mean to have a biblical symbiosis? What does it look like? Well, it is like we were to take two boards and they individually have a certain level of strength, but we combine them with glue and possibly screws, and we unite them and we give additional strength, and when united, they now act as one single board. If you and I were to then take them and rip them apart, it would do great damage to both of them. And we certainly recognize that divorce is doing great damage to our society today. It is doing great damage to that bond between husband and wife. And the devil very clearly desires to tear apart the husband-wife relationship because of the damage that it will cause not only to society, but also to your specific home. In 2014 and 2015 and coming into 2018, statistics say that there are over 2 million marriages a year in the United States of America. But at the same time, as over 2 million people or 2 million couples are getting married, we have over 750,000 couples that are choosing to get divorced. And it is so tragic and it is so terrible for our society and for these individual homes. Well, where does this bond break down? What are the things that are continually working against this biblical symbiosis? God says, I want to take two individuals and make them one in the sanctity of marriage. In the time frame of two individuals reciting their vows, committing before God that they are going to be one man and one woman coming together for one lifetime, what happens to that bond? What that would break down this glue, this spiritual glue? What is it that is breaking down the oneness of marriage? This morning, as we consider the importance of biblical symbiosis, I want to give you six things that I believe are breaking down the glue or the bond of marriage. Things that are affecting marriage the most. What is driving a wedge between the husband and wife in the home? And again, I say, this is the most important relationship in the home. If there is a breakdown in this biblical symbiosis, it will have an effect upon in-laws. It will have an effect upon children. It will have an effect upon parents. It is tragic, but we recognize that there are things that are working against the union of the husband and wife. Biblical symbiosis, having that interdependent relationship between husband and wife. What is working actively against this in our marriage? Would you notice number one with me? The first thing that is tearing the husband-wife relationship apart is the matter of communication. Communication. In so many different stats and studies, we find that communication is often the number one reason for divorce. And there's a lack of communication between husband and wife. The husband ceases from communicating with his wife, and the wife ceases her communication with her spouse. We understand from 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 through 7, that each of the spouses is to know their husband or wife. They're to commit themselves into learning and studying and knowing all that there is to know about their spouse. And I wonder this morning if you and I are biblically communicating with our spouse. Are we open? Are we honest? Are we truthful? Are we communicating as God would have us to communicate? Perhaps the husband or the wife in your home has begun to shut down, has begun to close themselves off. Perhaps there is a closed communication. Perhaps there's a lack of communication from either our lips or our life, and so it is broken down. Perhaps there's a spouse that is doing all their communication with others in the workplace and in the neighborhood, and perhaps with family or even long-distance connections, but the communication that is most suffering is the communication between husband and wife. Would you say today that you are communicating faithfully with your spouse, open and honest with them, communicating the truth as God would direct? I want to deal with this matter of communication in a greater effort in a message that will come in the coming weeks. And so I'm going to move on to the second thing that I believe is breaking down the spiritual glue of the husband-wife relationship. Number one, we have communication. Number two, I believe it's competition. The Bible tells us in Genesis chapter 30 that there was a competition in a marriage. And the Bible tells us of a physical competition between Rachel and what was going on in her relationship with Jacob and that of another spouse named Leah. And Rachel decided that while she could not have children, that she would give her servant Bilhah to Jacob to also marry. And so the Bible tells us that Jacob takes Bilhah, the handmaid of Rachel, and now he has three wives. And then Leah is upset about this, and so she takes her handmaid named Zilpah, and Jacob marries her. But all down through that chapter, it is a competitive spirit that flows forth between the nature of a husband and a wife. And tragically, the devil continued to add in ingredients, and no one in that home sought to stop the insanity. Jacob had been deceived, and instead of receiving Rachel as his spouse, he received Leah as his spouse. He compounded the problems by marrying then Rachel. Now he's one man and two wives, and then he compounded the problem further by taking these two handmaids to be wives. And he had children by them all. And we find throughout that chapter, and perhaps it's something that you would go back and consider in your personal devotions and meditations in the coming week, but this home is filled with competitiveness. Today, it might not be in a one husband and four wives type matter, but I tell you this morning, I've counseled individuals that are competitive over their children. And one spouse likes one of the children more than they like the other children, and so they become very competitive in how they treat their children. And they favor one child over another, and they begin to trend towards that child and develop hobbies and acts of interest and so forth. And everything becomes a competition within the home. I also know that in some homes that there is a competition over careers between the husband and the wife. And this matter of competition is breaking down the fabric of the glue that God designed in that one flesh relationship. The devil is using a lack of communication. The devil is using the matter of competition. But number three, the devil is using a combativeness in the marriage and in the husband-wife relationship. When you started out in your marriage, it was two spouses working together for a mutual goal. And now, instead of being companions in matters, you are combatants in marriage issues. Instead of being on the same page and working for the same outcome in the lives of your marriage, in the lives of your children, you're now combatants and you're fighting against each other. No one is willing to submit themselves to the other. No one is willing to serve someone else that they might put the wishes ahead of someone else. No, it's a I want my way combativeness. In Genesis chapter 27, verses 1 through 13, this combatant type philosophy plays out in the home of Isaac and Rebekah. Isaac favored Esau, and he desired to bless Esau with a blessing. And Rebekah overheard Isaac sending Esau on an errand, and she quickly took steps to demonstrate her favoritism towards Jacob, and she brings Jacob in and works all these things out that Isaac, who would be deceived, actually blesses Jacob instead of Esau. Isaac was working against Rebekah. Rebekah was working against Isaac, and they had become combatants in their home instead of companions. And I wonder this morning if that is the issue in your home. Would you say this morning as a husband that you are a companion to your wife? Would you as the wife say that you are a companion to your husband and that you are actively working for the same goals in your home? I believe that the devil is using all these things to break down that biblical symbiosis, that interdependence based upon the scriptures. I believe that he is using the lack of communication between husband and wife. I believe he's using the matter of competitiveness. I believe he's using a combativeness to break down the relationship between husband and wife. We must also acknowledge this fourth matter, and it is tearing apart the biblical glue that God intended for marriage, and it's the matter of cheating. In Proverbs chapter 5 and verses 20 and 21, the Bible says, "And why wilt thou, my son, be ravished with a strange woman and embrace the bosom of a stranger? For the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he pondereth all his goings." We're certainly well aware of the nature of physical cheating and how it is taking place and is breaking down the fabric of the husband and wife relationship and in turn breaking down the fabric of homes. Perhaps the husband eyes someone else and believes that it would be better to be with that person, and so he begins a relationship outside of the bonds of his marriage. Perhaps the wife in the home has chosen to go outside of the boundary of her relationship with her husband and has chosen to cheat physically with others. We recognize that this could happen to any home. We recognize that none of us is immune to this matter, that Satan may seek to tempt and lure us away from our relationship with our spouse. He wants to drive a wedge between those two fleshly individuals. He wants to drive a wedge that he might break apart that one flesh relationship. And surely we understand the nature of physical cheating. In Proverbs chapter 7, the Bible says, in giving wisdom to others, that an individual observed out of the window of his house through his casement a simple one who was lured into a trap. And a woman there in Proverbs chapter 7 is desiring a relationship outside of her marriage. We understand that this continues to abound. And physical cheating is certainly a problem and a growing issue in our world today. But we also now, in this world, with the the nature of the internet and the nature of photography and the nature of video footage, we also have mental cheating. In Psalm 101 in verse number 3, the Bible says, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. In Matthew chapter 5, verses 27 to 30, ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery, but I say unto you, that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. There are no doubt people that would sit in church after church in America today and say, well, I've never physically cheated on my spouse. But if they were honest, they would testify that they have mentally cheated on their spouse. In our world today, we must be very forthright in understanding the nature of pornography and the effect that it is having upon the husband and wife relationship and upon our children. I believe that pornography is the drug of the mind. It creates a fantasy world that destroys the real world life. And Satan may not get his hook into you by convincing you to have a physical relationship, but he might come along with the fishing line and lure of lust and attract you via some pop-up on a computer internet site. And he might lure you in, and perhaps you have the strength and the willpower to say no the first time, but Satan will bring up different things, and you had no intention of going there, but you've been lured into it. 55% of married men in a recent survey said that they are involved with pornography at least once a month. 70% of non-married men said that they're involved with pornography at least once a month. The younger the individual, the more likely they are to be involved in it. And we'd like to think for ourselves that this is just a matter for the men, but the truth is that it also affects women as well. This drug of the mind is destroying the biblical symbiosis of the husband-wife relationship. Satan may use the avenue of communication to break down your one flesh relationship. Satan may use the competitiveness or the combativeness to break down the one flesh relationship. Perhaps he is using even today the matter of cheating in breaking down the one flesh relationship. There's a fifth thing that I believe that Satan uses, and it's the matter of criticism. In 2 Samuel chapter 6, verses 16 through 23, another passage that we don't have time to fully read and digest, we find the story of David returning with the Ark of God. And the Bible tells us that Michal, Saul's daughter, who is now married to David, observes David out of her window and is furious with the excitement that David is demonstrating because the Ark of God is restored to Israel. They are clearly not on the same page, and Michal is furious. And so when David comes in with great excitement and great joy, ready to bless his household as he has blessed the houses of Israel, he comes in and Michal is full of criticism. She mocks David. She ridicules David. And the Bible goes on to tell us that this affected their relationship from that day forward. I wonder this morning if criticism is destroying the one flesh symbiosis in your home. Perhaps it is a critical wife. Perhaps it is a critical husband. Perhaps in the husband's mind, nothing that the wife does ever measures up. Perhaps in the wife's mind, she is thinking, why couldn't my husband be more like someone else? It is entirely possible that in the back recesses of phone calls and Facebook updates and Instagram posts, that there are individuals that are critical of their spouses. My friend, there are those that will take note of that and seek to bring a wedge in between your relationship with your spouse. Now, we must all be honest. There's not one spouse that is the perfect spouse. Not one of us can say that we perfectly meet all the desires of our husband or our wife. There's not one of us that can say that we came into the marriage with perfection and we're just waiting for our spouse to grow into our level. In fact, if my wife wanted to be critical, I can make the list up for her. I can tell her all the ways that she could be critical of my role as the husband and father in our home. It doesn't take a mastermind to watch and observe a life to be able to find things to be critical of. But the truth of the matter is that as a husband and wife, we're to be building one another up. And where criticism tears down, we are to be building up our spouses. Criticism is being used by Satan to break apart that one flesh relationship. Can I give you one more this morning, and it's number 6. Perhaps any ways are found in your home, perhaps more than one, but it is my desire this morning to bring these things up and in the end of the message to provide hope. Number 6 is the matter of conflict from outside sources. In Genesis chapter 2 and verse number 24, and then in Matthew chapter 19 and Ephesians chapter 5, it is very clear that the Bible says that when I ask a woman to marry me, and I commit to that woman in vows, that in that committal process that we are becoming our own home, and that I am to say goodbye to my parents, and I'm leaving them, and I'm cleaving to my spouse. We're leaving what we once knew as our home, and we are creating a new home. Now, I am indeed grateful for the investment of both my parents and my in-laws in our home. But I am also grateful that my in-laws and my parents do not have oversight of my home. When my wife and I left our parents, we left them not because we don't love them dearly, but we left them because God said that we are to leave parents and to cleave unto our spouses. And I believe with all of my heart that the devil is using conflict from outside sources to create a division in the home. Perhaps you married someone that your parents just really didn't like. Perhaps you married someone that your siblings didn't care for. But the truth of the matter is that when you have this bond in Christ and you have committed together by way of vows to be husband and wife until death do you part, you are saying to each other that you will deny that relationship of all others that you might build that bond between husband and wife. And there are homes today that are being ripped apart because of the intrusiveness of in-laws, because of the oversight of moms and dads. In Genesis chapter 29, verses 15 through 26, we find the first time in which a father-in-law is aggressively deciding how his daughters will live their lives in marriage. And Laban continues to stick in the stir stick and stir up the issues for Jacob, who desired to marry Rachel, but at the last minute, Leah is put in there into that role of the wife. And then Laban tinkers with the matter of Jacob and Rachel getting married. And then he tinkers in their relationship as it related to the commerce and to the building of their wealth. He tinkered and cheated at every step. Even in their departure, Laban was causing them issues. And again, it's why we find from the Word of God that the Bible says that if we're going to have a biblical symbiosis, that yes, we love our parents and we're thankful for all that our parents invested in our lives, but when we come together, we are coming together as husband and wife, and we're one flesh, forsaking all others. Laban made a mess of Jacob and Rachel's lives. And I wonder this morning if there are not in-laws that are interfering with the husband-wife relationship. Oh, it's wise of children to seek out wisdom from parents. It's wise for children to go to moms and dads and to say, what would you do in this scenario? And I am eternally grateful for the wisdom of my in-laws and how many times that we have asked for their advice and counsel and they have given sound advice and sound counsel. I am eternally grateful for my folks and the wisdom that they have given and the guidance and support that they have given. But I praise God to no end that neither my parents or my in-laws have dictated to my wife and I how we will lead our home and how we will guide our home. Even in this coming week, we're going to have the opportunity to get together with my in-laws. And boy, I tell you, we love them dearly. Love my folks. We're anxious to be able to host my folks at our home in the coming weeks. And they're going to come and see us. And we're just so grateful for the relationship that we enjoy with both sides. But they are their own home, and in making our home, we came together and committed to each other that we would deny all others and be one man and one woman for one lifetime. And I wonder this morning if there's a conflict from outside sources that is doing great harm to that one flesh relationship. Perhaps it's parents. Perhaps it's friends. Perhaps it's a co-worker or a neighbor with ulterior motives. Let me ask you this morning, as you sit there in your living room or in your kitchen, somewhere there in your home, I wonder if there is anyone or anything that could and would seek to divide the husband-wife relationship in your home. I wonder if there's anyone badgering you over the nature of your spouse. If there's anyone that is pointing out all the flaws and pointing out all the problems and working against the one flesh relationship. I believe these six things are being used by the devil to break up the symbiosis that God designed for marriage. That interdependence where both parties are mutually benefiting. That biblical uniting, that biblical bond of one man and one woman for one lifetime. And boy, perhaps this morning you would say, Pastor, if I'm honest with you and I'm honest with the Lord, I recognize that communication is breaking our bond. I recognize that competitiveness is breaking our bond. I realize that we are combatants instead of companions. Pastor, I recognize this morning that there's a matter of cheating that must be addressed. Perhaps it's not physical cheating. Perhaps it's a mental cheating that has taken place and you need to make things right with Almighty God and with your spouse. Perhaps this morning it's criticism. Perhaps this morning it's conflict. Whatever it may be, can I say to you today that there is hope? There are some wonderful counselors that are available to be able to help you in your marriage. There are some wonderful books that have been written by some very godly authors that are there to help you in one or more of these matters. I believe with all of my heart that if you desire to change and to choose a new path, that there's a better day ahead, that there is hope. Can I tell you this morning that I know that there are people that have overcome communication issues. There are people that have overcome competitiveness and combativeness. I know that this is hard to believe, but there are people that have overcome a cheating episode. There are people that have changed their attitudes and changed their talk and their, their mindset and they've overcome criticism. And they've become the greatest encourager of their spouse. There are people that have overcome conflict and they've done right by their husband and wife. In recent days, I came across a series that's on DVD that will help people that need to overcome pornography and the drug of the mind. There's some great books that are out there to help direct both young people, young adults, and married adults alike. Please, my friend, understand that God designed marriage to be one man and one woman for one lifetime. But in our society today, there are many things that are working against that biblical symbiosis, that one flesh relationship. Will you this morning come clean with Almighty God and recognize that these matters really do have an effect on your family? I want you to see that each one of these can have a great detrimental effect on your home. And that husband-wife relationship is the core of the family. And God designed it to be a biblical symbiosis, two hearts united as one. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the opportunity to speak today on this matter of biblical symbiosis. Thank you for the privilege that I have to stand before these folks, not as a perfect vessel, but as a vessel that has been forgiven from sin, a vessel that has been saved, a vessel that has been born again. And Lord, I pray that I've been faithful in the heavenly calling this morning. I know we've dealt very rapidly with some very crucial matters, but all of these matters have an impact on the family. This really does matter to the family. And I pray in the quietness of this moment that each husband and wife would consider their own marriage and the matters that they have in their marriage. As we walk down through each one of these things, Lord, if one or more of these apply, Lord, would you help each spouse to seek forgiveness from Almighty God and to seek forgiveness from their spouse and to realize that these are the things that are tearing apart the one flesh relationship. I pray right now that you would work in the heart of each young person that is not yet married, as they will look out into the world and seek to find their future spouse. May they find a spouse that will be wholly committed to this one flesh principle. And I pray for all of our young men and young ladies that they would find the spouse that would be pleasing in your sight, that they would enjoy a biblical symbiosis with that spouse. Lord, for parents of children that are now married, would you help us or help those that have married children to have the right amount of counsel but not oversight, not intrusiveness. And Lord, if there are those that have relationships that have been broken apart, Lord, would you help them in the repair of those things? Would you help each one to be submissive to Almighty God and humbled? The parents would apologize to their married children and say, please forgive us for trying to direct what goes on in your home. Lord, I pray that you'd give wisdom there. I pray that we'd have discernment if there are outside forces that are seeking to undermine the one flesh principle of our marriage. Lord, thank you.